Now our text tonight is found in John's Gospel chapter 7. John 7 on verse 37. John 7 verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Here we have one of the great golden gospel texts of the New Testament scriptures. It emphasizes the only remedy for sinners who are thirsting and who desire to have that thirst quenched. And it is concisely and simply put in the following manner. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. This text is taken from Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. The Lord Jesus seemed to love the book of Isaiah and often referenced it. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Christ himself was the literal fulfillment of that promise, because he is the fountain of all living water, whereby those who drink shall be eternally satisfied. There are many stale, stagnant pools in this world that we live in, but Christ is the fountainhead of living water, whereby thirsty souls can drink and they can be refreshed. This very appeal is used in the last invitation that we find in the canon of Scripture in Revelation 22 and 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. In each text, there's just one word that is used to summarize the grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would, to me, summarize the response of the believing heart to the gospel itself. It is the word come. Sometimes preachers are afraid to use that word come. And yet it is found in the New Testament some 330 times. The word come. So tonight we're going to take this word, and very simply we're going to try and ascertain, what does it mean in the gospel for sinners to come? Because few other words reveal to us the meaning of the gospel itself and the manner in which sinners ought to respond to it. Firstly, let me suggest to you that it's a word full of invitation. Come. It is God who gives this wonderful invitation. Tenderly, he says to the lost, to those that are thirsting, he says to them, come. We could better understand it if God were to say, go. If God were to banish us into the far country because of our sin, because of our rebellion. In generations gone by, when citizens rebelled against the king or the government, they were exiled from this country. There were thousands were exiled to the other side of the world. We were thinking this afternoon in the Boer War how the British Army took thousands of Boer soldiers and they took them to the other side of the world. They took them to Ceylon, and there they put them in huge prisoner of war camps. They were exiled because they were rebels to the authority of Queen Victoria, and thus they were exiled to the other side of the world. We could understand if God were to say to us, go. But God actually says instead, come. Few of us will ever, I think, get invitations to royal weddings. There's much speculation already in the press. Who will be invited to the wedding of Prince Harry? And there's all types of people vying for position. It amuses me. It really does amuse me how celebrities and politicians will vie for an invitation to that wedding. But if you or I got an invitation to it, we would be aghast, wouldn't we? We would be amazed. that such lowly people would get an invitation to such a high royal occasion. And yet we have a better invitation, a higher invitation from the very courts of God, from the very throne of God this evening, that as a church we are called to extend it in this world that we live in. And it is the invitation of Almighty God Himself to come to the wedding of the bride and of the bridegroom. Have you ever thought about those that God has invited? We invite normally those that are our acquaintances to such occasions. We invite at least those that are our equals. But nothing could be further from the truth when it comes to the gospel of Christ. God issues this royal invitation to come and dine at His banqueting table to the lost sons and daughters of Adam's ruined and sinful race. Never has there been such a disparity, or never has there been such a discrepancy between the one who invites and those who are invited. I was thinking of that passage of Scripture in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. And remember the parable that the Lord Jesus told there. And the servants were sent out to give the invitation to come to the wedding. And yet the guest list was not full. And so we read in verse 9 and 10, the Master said to His servants, "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Those are amazing verses. They went out into the highways and the byways. They didn't go into the palaces and the large houses of repute. They went to those that were nobodies, down and outs. They went to those that were, the Bible specifically says, not just the good, but the bad. And the invitation was given, and it simply said, "Come. Come." And we're still giving that invitation as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to select those that we give the invitation to. There are some people who act like that in this land that we live in. But we're to give that invitation to high and to low. We're to give it to orange and to green. We're to give it to all and sundry. We're to give the invitation, the royal invitation of the gospel, and we're to invite sinners to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that none are excluded from the invitation other than those who exclude themselves. "Come ye sinners, weak and weary, wounded and bruised by the fall." Could it be any more embracive or encompassing? We thank God for His grace tonight that He's given us such an invitation. Not only to extend here from the pulpit, but to live out in our lives, that we would be used of God to invite others to come to His Son. But secondly, I think this word also is full of compulsion. There's a note of urgency here in the Savior's voice. Look again at verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried." He stood up on the last day of the feast and He cried. Never again, He realized, would that exact congregation gather under the exact circumstances. Time was running out for them. Sensing the brevity of time, the feast coming to the end, He stood up in the midst of the people and He cried to them and He pleaded with them and He remonstrated in the midst. And He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He urged them, He compelled them to take the decisive action before their time together would come to an end and they would miss the opportunity to come unto Him. The Savior didn't tell them to go away and think about it and to come back later. He didn't tell them that they would have another opportunity. He told them that this was their opportunity. As that last day of the feast came, He realized that their opportunities were, were fast coming to an end, and he invited them to come. Come. Come whilst you have opportunity. Come whilst you have health and whilst you have strength. Come. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. And if you tarry, you may never come at all. And how dreadful that would be as an alternative. In John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 40, we read these words, John 5 and 40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. That's the alternative. Those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they receive life. Life for a look at the crucified one. Those who refuse to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will die under the condemnation and judgment of Almighty God and experience the eternal death, which is hell itself. It's either life or death. It's either heaven or hell. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will experience life for a look at the crucified one. Come. There are many. And they invite people to come to the Lord Jesus. Many preachers who do that, but they don't tell their congregations or the people who are in front of them that there is an alternative, a dreadful alternative. If you don't come, there is hell. Sometimes when I go to funeral services, I have to think to myself, has hell been written out of the Bible? Because it's never mentioned here. You men and women, the Lord Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. If you come to him, you will have life, life eternal, and life more abundant. If you die in your sin as you have lived, and as if you die as you have lived, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, there is only hell. There is no other in between. Come. That's why we come with compulsion. That's why we come with earnestness, and we plead with sinners, be you reconciled to God. Because if you are not reconciled to God in time, maybe the very last day of the feast for you, if you're not reconciled to God in time, you'll be lost for all of God's eternity. Come. Thirdly, this word is also full of instruction. We're taught here concerning something, I think, pertaining to man's condition. If God invites sinners to come, it plainly intimates that they are at a distance from him. If I'm asking you to come to me, it's expressing a reality that you're not with me, you're far from me. And how great is that gulf between God and mankind, that gulf that sin has made? We're born into this world with a great divide between us and God. The prodigal, because of his sin, he went out into the far country. And that's where God finds all of us tonight. That's where he found us in our sin, in the far country, at enmity with him, in rebellion to him, strangers to him, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and the covenants of promise. But it is a wonderful gospel promise, and we should never grow tired or weary of proclaiming it. This wonderful gospel promise that though we are at a distance from him, he invites us to come to him, to come to his royal courts and to partake of the bounty of his wonderful provision. Does it not also teach us concerning our own present hopeless condition? Man, cut off from God, cannot come by himself. That's the great leveler, men and women, isn't it? Man cannot come by himself. It's the Spirit of God that gives the enablement to come. We were singing in Joseph Hart's wonderful hymn in our opening praise that it is the Spirit's rising beam. It's the light of the Spirit rising within the soul when souls are taught of their own inability. I can't come myself. I can't save myself. This is only something God the Holy Ghost can do. And I cast myself upon his mercy
I cast myself upon His grace. If you're here tonight unsaved, you're exactly where all of Adam's race is found. And you're unable to help yourself. But we're glad to preach a gospel that though it proclaims the inability of man, it proclaims the wonderful ability of God. Because God is able and God is willing to give the enablement to all who will come unto God by Him. We're empty vessels that cannot fill themselves, but empty vessels that God can fill and God can use. I want to further add this word come gives to us needed direction. Jesus said, come unto me. It couldn't be any clearer. It couldn't be any simpler. Jesus Christ said, come unto me. All ye that are thirsty, come unto me. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. Just these few profound words. He taught his listeners how to have eternal peace with God, to come to Christ is to believe on Him, and to believe on Him is to come to Him. How do I come to Christ tonight? I believe on Him. Because believing on Christ is the same as coming to Christ. And the remedy to many this evening may seem far too simple, but there's no other remedy. And all the wisdom of the world could never find a flaw in it or devise a better remedy. To trust Christ is to come to Christ. And so coming, Christ will supply all the need. Thus the sinner who comes in believing, he is at once forgiven, justified and received into the number of God's family. Tell me, have you ever come? Have you ever believed on Christ personally to the saving of your soul? Not some vague general, yes, I know. Not some vague general answer, well, I have been told that. But what about you? You personally in this meeting tonight, have you personally ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul? Because until that moment actually occurs, you have never come. You've heard all those invitations down through the years, but you've never exercised faith in Christ and thus come to Christ. Let me ask you the question, what's keeping you from coming? There's not one of you tonight haven't heard this message time and time again, but you haven't come. What's keeping you from coming? Is it your love of sin? Does it chain your heart and bind your soul? Do you love it so much? Do you love your sin more than any hopes of heaven? Perhaps it's your friends. Friends have great influences upon people nowadays. Or maybe it's the fear of what men will say has an equal influence on many people today. And people are influenced in the wrong way by what people will think about them. What would people say tomorrow if you went into work or school or college and told them that you'd actually come? I came to Jesus Christ last night. I believed on Him. Would they laugh at you? Well, you know it's better them laughing at you now than way leading you to a lost eternity. You can get to heaven and miss out on many things in life. And you know, men and women, it will not matter one iota if you miss out on those things. But you can't get to heaven if you miss out on Jesus Christ. He said, come to me. Not come to the church, not come to the creed, not come to the table, not come to the fount. He said, come to me. Come to me. And if you fail to come, you'll miss that last day. You'll miss that last opportunity. The word come also assures us of our reception. As the invitation went out to the great supper in Luke 14:17, it was written on it, "Come, for all things are now ready." Not wonderful. We don't say that very often on the wedding invitation, "Come, because there will be an excellent 5-course meal at the end of the reception." Or, "Come, because I've spent an awful lot of money getting things ready to look after you as my guest for that day." We wouldn't presume to put those things on invitations, would we? But the invitation from the Saviour simply says, "Come, all things are now ready." He has readied everything. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his precious blood, he made ready the way of salvation for lost sinful man. He died that atoning death. He satisfied the law of God, that just, holy law of God on our behalf. Everything is ready. You just have to come. And I'm glad there's a welcome. Go back to chapter 6 and verse 37. Chapter 6, verse 37. He says, Him that cometh, I'll in no wise cast out. Rather than cast you out, he's going to take you in. Will the Lord cast you out tonight? Would he issue the invitation and then bring you right to the very portal and then turn you back? He'll not, dear man or woman. He's issued the invitation for you to be brought right in. All things are ready. You just have to come, and you're welcome. Finally, I think this word is full of salvation. The meaning of salvation. The first time the word "come" is used in the Bible, it'll teach us what's going to follow thereafter. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." This was a wonderful, gracious invitation from Almighty God. You come. Noah, you come. Mrs. Noah, you come. Shem, Ham, Japheth, you come. All come into the ark. They had to come individually. One by one. They had to step over the threshold. They had to come turning their back on the old world. Surely that speaks to us of repentance. They had to come believingly. They had to believe their father's message. Judgment was going to come. And unless they got into the ark, they'd be lost for all eternity. They had to come, else they would be lost. Will you not do likewise tonight? Come with a prayerful heart. Come and knock at the door of heaven with that prayer, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner," and you'll not be turned away. They were all safely gathered into that ark. And when the judgment came, they were secured from the wrath of God. What a wonderful invitation. You might say to yourself, why did I bother going out to church this evening on such a cold winter's evening? I tell you, if it's only to hear the royal invitation from heaven, it's a blessing to be able to hear it and to know within your heart, I have responded to it. Now let me ask those who have not responded to it yet, will you not do so tonight? Now, as we conclude our service, cast yourself upon God's grace and mercy and believe on Christ this night, this hour, this moment, to the saving of your soul. And I said to you, dear Christians, take this invitation with you and spread it this week. Go out into the highways and the byways and tell others, compel them to come in, that the Father's house might be filled.